Okay, we're going to pick up where Pastor left off. He in a bulletin, he had 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And that's all as far as I'm going to get. I looked at this passage, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, well, that's going to take me just the first two words. I could preach on that for about 6 weeks. And then I looked at the next section, I'm thinking, that's good for another 6 weeks. And then the last section, I'm thinking, man, we could go for months on this. So how do you condense everything in 10 minutes per section? But that's what we're going to try to do tonight. So if you've got your Bibles with you today, we're going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, where the Apostle Peter tells us, he says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you," you know, I beg you, "as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." In powerful words, shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord, help us. I pray that you will work through this preacher, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would encapsulate this place, because we know that the enemy of our soul would prefer not for us to disclose what we have to say here tonight. Lord, we know that your word frees people. And Lord, we just pray tonight that if there's someone here tonight that's struggling, that Lord, in their Christian life, that you would set them free. We know that you love us. We know who we are in Christ. And we know, Lord, that we are all soldiers in a battle, in a war. Help us to understand the tools and the weapons that you've given us as your people to defeat the enemy. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I've entitled this particular passage, "The Hidden Danger Behind Flirting With or Embracing Fleshly Lusts." I want to emphasize the last portion of this scripture to begin with, because as I was sitting there and trying to determine, you know, how to condense this, the Holy Spirit really just opened my eyes and showed me that on the surface, you're not going to be able to see what we're going to talk about. Peter gives us an injunction here to abstain from fleshly lusts, but there's something hidden behind us that you need to understand. So we're going to start off with not just talking about how God loves us, which is important. We need to understand as believers. And we're not going to talk necessarily to start off with as who you are in Christ. That's important in order for you to end up in the last one, to abstain or to refrain from fleshly lusts that war against our soul. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions in the scripture. We're soldiers, every one of us. We're involved in a battle. And that battle is a battle that our enemy is relentless. He's not going to stop coming after us. There are sinful desires within us that war against us, that want to defeat us as believers in Christ. You know, our real battle isn't with people that we come in contact with. The real battle in a Christian's life is the passions that are within each and every one of us, our sinful nature. If we yield to those sinful appetites, then what we're going to find is that we're going to find ourselves in some real problems. We're going to have to develop some real problems in our lives. Why is warfare with the flesh so important? You ever think about that? Why is that so important? We know, for first of all, that the sins of the flesh are wrong. Every sin of the flesh dishonors God. Each sin strikes at his right to rule and to direct our lives. But beyond those facts is the fact that there lies a little subtle danger that nobody sees on the surface. Paul talks about it in Ephesians chapter 4 when he deals with the sins of the flesh in that context, and he contrasts the old nature versus the new nature. In verse 27, all of a sudden he stops and he gives us an injunction. He says, "Neither give place to the devil," in verse 27. What Paul is telling us here is that he's indicating that when a believer willfully chooses to commit fleshly sins, he's literally giving Satan access to his life. Let me give you an example. If you knew there was a serial killer in your neighborhood, it'd be like opening your windows at night, turning on all the lights, opening all the doors, and posting a neon sign out your front door saying, "Come on in and kill me." That's exactly what takes place when we flirt or embrace our fleshly lusts. We're inviting Satan to come in to our heart and take ground and begin to use it as a beachhead to destroy us. Be similar to a thief. Do the same thing. Advertise to him to come in and take everything we got. Open up our windows and doors and invite him to come in and just let him do what he wants. That's what happens when we flirt or we embrace fleshly lusts. God doesn't want us to do that. But when believers willfully indulge in fleshly sins, it gives the enemy a place in our hearts. It gives him ground that he will quickly exploit if we let him. The possibility of satanic involvement in a believer's life is alluded to in many New Testament passages. Paul wrote to Timothy to warn those who practice such fleshly sins that they come into the snare of the devil. He says they're taken captive by him at his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. That is a sober warning to every believer about careless living. But the Apostle Paul is trying to warn us. Giving into our fleshly sinful nature leads us right into Satan's territory. And you'll find yourself fighting a battle that you never intended to get into. But because you engaged yourself in the fleshly lusts, we are opening up our lives to do more for Satan to do more damage. Fleshly living can lead a believer into a state of bondage where Satan will be done rather than God's will being done. That's a sobering, eye-opening observation. It isn't on the surface when you read abstain from fleshly lusts. Holy Spirit wants us to see this tonight. That's why I started off with this point first. There comes a time where the practice of particular fleshly sins will cause a person basically to be taken over or controlled by satanic influences. Peter warns us about that in 2 Peter chapter 2. You know, a lot of times teenagers, for instance, they don't like the rules mom and dad have. They don't like this or they don't like that, and they can't wait till they get out of the house because then what happens? Well, I can do whatever I feel like doing then, right? And a lot of times that's what happens. They don't understand that the rules are there to protect them, to keep them safe. And so when they get out on their own and begin doing all those things, they end up just like the prodigal son. He wanted his freedom. But he didn't realize that his freedom really was bondage. He was placing himself into slavery. And that's what happens when we allow ourselves to flirt or embrace fleshly lust. Now, I haven't mentioned any of the fleshly lust. You can go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 22 and look at those. But every one of us knows that what? Every one of us has a weakness, don't we? We don't have to explain it. We all have weaknesses. You might have mine, I might have yours. I may not have yours, you may not have mine. But each and every one of us has a sinful nature. And you know what? That sinful nature loves to do what? Loves to sin. It's just a fact. That's why the Holy Spirit gives us lists in Scripture to show us that this is a problem for a Christian. Well, we're going to try and discuss tonight how you can overcome that problem. But we need to recognize that if I flirt with my sinful nature, or if I want to embrace that sinful nature, there's a hidden danger present that you don't see. You're inviting the enemy of our soul to come in and exploit you. We don't want to do that. Holy Spirit doesn't want to do this. He's going to war on our behalf to stop that from happening. Peter tells us that when they promise them liberty, you think you're going to have freedom by getting out underneath of God's control. But that's not the case. You become servants of corruption. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 tells us. And he tells us, for of whom a man is overcome, whatever you allow to overcome you, what's it going to do? It's going to make you its slave. That's what Peter says, that the same as he brought into bondage. So we do not want something to place us into bondage. We want to be free. And the only way you can be free is by submitting ourselves unto God's rule. Amen. That's where the real freedom's at. We need to understand that don't ignore our enemy. He's real. It'd be dangerous because every believer is a special target for Satan. He's got his eyes set on us. Satan is a powerful and cunning foe, and he has a host of fallen angels, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, working with him against us. You don't have to fear Satan. That's what the emphasis is on the Word of God, because Jesus Christ has already been victorious over him, hasn't he? He's defeated him. And not only has he defeated him, he's overcome the flesh on our behalf. And he's overcome this world system that Satan uses to entice us and get us to fall. Throughout his life, he was perfect and free without sin. He was holy. And in his death, burial, and resurrection, he gave us victory over our enemies. And that victory is ours to claim. It's ours to appropriate, because we've been united with Jesus, we've been placed in him, and we are part of him. Because we are part of him, everything that he accomplished, we can claim. I do that every day. I know I'm not perfect, but Jesus is. I claim his righteousness. I claim his holiness. I don't have any. I don't need any, because Jesus supplied it for me. That's what we need to understand. The victory is ours to claim. And we need to understand that we're only strong in God's power. I'm only strong in his strength. I'm only strong in his might when we face the enemy of our soul. It's his strength. Our Father in heaven's provided us with an armor to put on daily. We need to understand how that armor works. He's given us a loin girdle of truth. He's given us a breastplate of righteousness. He's given us the sandals of the gospel of peace. He's given us a helmet of salvation to protect my thinking, because the battle's in the mind with the devil. He's given me the sword of the Spirit in prayer as a weapon to attack Satan's kingdom. Do you know how to use it? We need to know how to use it. The victory that you and I need in this Christian life has already been provided. I have to aggressively use it and not passively assume that it's there. You know, shortly after we become Christians, we make a startling discovery, don't we? We discover that we have an enemy within. We have two natures now. We have a fallen nature, a sinful nature. We have a divine nature. And we have some enemies. We have an enemy without, Satan. And Satan has a world system set up against us to battle us, to try to deceive us and to get us to fall. By far, who do you think is the greatest enemy? Is the world our greatest enemy? Is Satan our greatest enemy? Or is the flesh our greatest enemy? It's the flesh. The flesh is our greatest enemy. What you see in this world is just a projection of what's in my heart, or what's in anybody's heart, all the evil. Take a list, a look at the list of all the sins that come from the heart. And when you look out there, it's just on a bigger scale that Satan uses to entice us to fall into sin. By far, the flesh is the greatest of our enemies. We have a spiritual nature and a divine nature that battles our fallen nature. And there seems to be a constant struggle to do what's right and what's pleasing in God's sight. There's a struggle for control. And that's where the issue lies. It's a matter of who you're going to submit to. Who are we going to yield ourselves to? Are we going to yield ourselves to our sinful nature, or are we going to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit of God? The choice. This is a choice. We make choices every day. We choose one or the other. The choice lies with the believer as whether he's going to yield to God or obey our sinful nature. How does a believer handle his sinful, corrupt nature when it's capable of producing such a host of sins? How do we deal with it? Have any of you struggled with your sinful nature? I think every one of us has. God has the answers for us on how to be victorious with our sinful natures. The first step is that what? We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to realize that what? We all have this part of us that wants to do what's wrong. But more than that, all of us have been here. We've struggled. We wanted to do what was wrong, and we fought trying to do what was wrong, and we fought it, but then we failed. We got back up and did it again. So it was a struggle, back and forth, and some people keep going and falling. Finally get to the point, they come and haven't come up with the answer, and what do? They give up. I can't conquer this. That's exactly what God wants to bring you, believe it or not. He wants you to realize that, yep, you finally understand this, don't you? You can't win in your own effort. Can't do it. It's not going to happen. God doesn't want you to try in your own effort. It's like our salvation. Did you do anything to be saved other than believe on Christ? No. You take it for what it is. He says he's forgiven you. It's the same when it comes to our spiritual battle. You don't have to fight this battle. Jesus already fought it for you. And he won. Okay? I'm claiming his victory because I can't do it. It's like finally he gets us to a place where I'm going to raise the white flag. Lord, I give up. And finally he says, about time. I've been trying to teach you this for years. But there's a second side of this story now. He wants you to give up, but he wants you to allow him to fight the battle for you. How do you do that? We're going to get to that in just a minute. But the first step is to be honest with yourself. You can't do it. If you try, that's only self-effort. So that's the first thing. The second step is to recognize and accept what God says about our old fleshly sinful nature. He's revealed to us that our flesh... Something's happened to our flesh when we received Christ as our Savior. You know what it was? He executed it. Yes, he did. He executed your sinful flesh. What does the Apostle Paul tell us? When Jesus died, I died with him. What does that mean? That means you can all picture Jesus dying on the cross, but picture this now. When Jesus died on the cross and I put my trust and faith in him, I became a believer in him, he took my sinful nature and he nailed it to his cross and he slew me, he executed me when he died on Calvary. That's what that scripture teaches us. How do I know that? Well, because he says that I died with him. This is the picture now. Does a dead man sin? Nope, that man don't sin, does he? I'm gonna take Brother Ed, and I'm gonna put a casket right here. Picture this: Brother Ed is in front of us, and don't get offensive because I'm gonna do some things here. He's dead, but Brother Ed had a drinking problem. He couldn't let go of the bottle. And one of his best friends is coming to the funeral home, and he's got a bottle with him, and he's got it all filled up, and he wants Brother Ed to take a sip on his way out. Brother Ed, he don't even pucker his lips, does he? Why? He's dead. He's not going to bat an eye. Well, Brother Ed, even that's not the only problem Brother Ed had. Brother Ed had a temper. And he had another guy come in, and he didn't like Ed. And so you know what he started doing? He started telling him how, he started speaking bad about his mama. Telling how his mama did this and his mother was that. And is it Brother Ed going to even blink an eye? No, why? He's dead. That's not the only problem Brother Ed had. Brother Ed had an eye for the girls. Yeah. And here comes this scantily clothed girl parading herself past that old casket. She's looking at Brother Ed and says, "How you doing, big boy?" You think Brother Ed's even going to blink an eye? He's not blinking an eye. Why? He's dead. So you got to know this. Jesus crucified your sinful nature. But that's not enough to know. We have to be honest with ourselves, and we got to realize that our sinful nature has been executed. There's something more that we need to realize. Only the Holy Spirit can harness our sinful nature. We have to have an attitude of complete submission. We have to realize that, yeah, I've been crucified with Christ, but I need to reckon myself alive unto God as well as dead unto sin. I'm alive now. I've been resurrected, haven't I? Jesus came out of the grave and he was alive. And because we have the Holy Spirit within us, he has given us life. And our life depends upon how much we depend upon the Holy Spirit, how much we yield to him. Only the Holy Spirit can harness our fallen, sinful nature. Paul teaches us, if you walk in the Spirit, what? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We're talking about submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit's control in our life. We're talking about telling and asking him to take over our lives, take control. We're giving him access, total access to everything that we do and say. God wants us to yield to him. He wants us to depend upon him. That is the one way in which he keeps us humble. I can't fight the devil. I'll lose every time. So this is what we're going to do. When the devil comes knocking on my door, my sinful fleshly nature, he loves to sin, and he's going to try to get me to sin, and the devil comes knocking on my door, this is what I'm going to do. I say, "Lord Jesus, I love you. But I had an enemy there, and he knows what my weakness is. And he wants me to get out of fellowship with you. He wants me to take control of my own life and leave you behind. I don't want to do that. I'm going to the back of the house, and he's knocking on the front door, and Lord Jesus, you go answer the door for me. Will you please? I can't." Jesus comes and opens the door, and the devil looks at him. He says, "Oh, it's you. Where's Tom?" Tom's not coming to you today. Go away. You know, the devil's not afraid of me, but he is afraid of what? The shepherd. Isn't he? He's afraid of Jesus. And that's what we got to do. I didn't win the battle. Who won the battle with the devil? Jesus won the battle. He's the one that overcome him. He doesn't want me to fight him. I don't have to. Jesus will do it for me if I let him. I got to let him, though. If I try to fight him, that's self-effort. You're never going to win. But if you let Jesus do it for you, you will. That's what it means to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God. Depend upon Jesus. That's what God wants. He wants us to walk in the Spirit because that's how we're going to have success in our Christian lives. So there's three things in it you're going to have to understand in order for you to overcome your fleshly nature. First one, recognize that we've got it. Be honest with yourselves. We have a sinful nature that wants to do wrong. But then we need to realize that Jesus has already won the battle. He's already crucified our flesh. I didn't do it. He did it. I don't have to do it. All I got to do is claim that he's the victor. He's the one that overcome the devil for me and let him do his work. Send him to answer the door. And I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. I'm going to yield myself to him as a living sacrifice every day, every moment of the day, if that's what it takes. Lord, take my hands and take my feet and take my eyes, my ears, my mind, my will and emotion. Take all of me. I'm giving it to you. You live your life through me. And when we do that, we're submitting ourselves unto his rule. That's what the battle's all about in the Christian life, submission. That's important. If we're going to win the hidden battle, if we're flirting or embracing fleshly lusts, that's the key to win the battle in our particular lives. But that's not the only key. I started with that because that's an important principle. And I've got about 10 minutes or 5 minutes to get to two other things that God wants you to understand. God tells us what? He starts off in that verse by telling us, "Dearly beloved." Let me give you an example. Harmony, come up here for a minute. Every one of us need to understand it. I need to constantly remind it how much God loves me, don't you? I do. I want to remind myself how much he loves me. Now I'm going to pretend that I'm God for a minute. Lord have mercy. This is Harmony, and she's special. I love her so much. I know when she was born, I was there. I was not only there, but I formed her. I made her the way that she is. I give her eyes, and I give her ears, and I designed exactly how I wanted her to be. And not only that, but you know, this little girl, she loves pink. And when I made the spectrum of the colors, I made one color just for her, and it's pink. And she loves certain kinds of flowers, and I made those flowers just for her. And not only that, she loves dolphins. And she loves killer whales in the oceans. And I made those just for her. And I sprinkled the stars in the sky. And I made the sands on the sea. And she loves ice cream. I made it just for her. And I made the clothes that she has just for her. She went snowboarding the other day. You know what? The clothes that she had on, I made just for her to keep her warm. She wasn't feeling good, so I spread the clouds aside, and I caused the sunshine to shine down in those beautiful blue sky and caused it to warm up just for her. And not only that, that hill that she was sliding on, I made it just for her. And all the snowflakes that it took to cover that hill so she could go down smoothly, I made it just for you. And not only that, but I had your favorite person watching you the whole time that day. Your every move, and you just love having her there with you, your mother. And there's other things that I've done for you. My thoughts towards you never ceased. They're more than the sands of the sea. You know, I've loved you with an everlasting love. You'll never be alone. I'll always be there with you. I have a special plan for your life. I'm going to do wonderful things for you forever. Not only that, there's a special gift that I've given to you. It's called an unspeakable gift. I did something for you. I gave you my only begotten son. I allowed him to come and die for you because I love you. Because you needed him to save you from your sin. I could look down the corridors of time before I made anything. And I knew that one day when you were presented with the gospel of Jesus and how he would come to die for you, that you would receive him as your Savior. And now you're one of my children. And I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, babes. See what we're talking about? God loves us. He loves us dearly. He knows everything about us. He knows when I rise up and when I sit down. He's familiar with all my ways. He knows every hair on my head. We were made in his image. He knows, and I live and I move and I have my being in him. He knew me when before I was even conceived. He chose me before he planned creation. All the days of my life are written in his book. He determined the exact time of my birth and where I would live. He said that I was fearfully and wonderfully made. He knit me together in my mother's womb. He brought me forth on the day that I was born. It's his desire to lavish his love on me simply because I am his child and he is my father. He offers me more than any earthly father could ever offer me. He's a perfect father. Every good gift I have comes from his precious hand. He's my provider. He's promised to meet all of my needs. He has a wonderful plan for my future. He's filled it with hope. And because he loves me, I can count that his love is an everlasting love. His thoughts toward me are countless. He rejoices over me with singing. He'll never stop doing good to me. I'm his treasured possession. He desires to establish me with all his heart and soul. He wants to show me great and marvelous things. He delights in me, and he gives me that. He says that he will give me the desires of my heart if I delight in him. He's able to do more for me than I could possibly ever imagine. He's my greatest encourager. He comforts me in all my troubles. When I'm brokenhearted, he's there close to me. He carries me close to his heart as a shepherd carries a lamb to his breast. And one day he's going to wipe away every tear that I have in my eyes. He's going to take away all the pain that I've suffered on this earth. And because he's my father, he's loved me so much, he gave me his son. He loves me just like he loves his son because I've accepted him. He's demonstrated to me how much he really loves me because God loves us. That's one reason we need to abstain from fleshly lust. What's the second one before we get to, you know, that hidden bondage? What was the second thing that we need to look at? We need to understand who we are in Christ. That's going to help us in our battle against the fleshly lust. We need to remember God loves us, but we need to remember who we are. Who are we? You ever think about that? Who are we in Christ? We're a child of God. I'm a stranger. I'm a pilgrim. I'm a foreigner in this world, but I am a child of God. I am God's child. I've been born of incorruptible seed. I've been forgiven of all my sins and been washed in the blood. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I've been freed from the power of darkness. I've been accepted in Christ Jesus. I am a saint. I am blessed. I am beloved of God. I am qualified to share in Christ's inheritance. I've been chosen of God. I've been crucified with Christ. I am alive in him. I am God's elect. I am loved with an everlasting love. I am complete in Jesus. I am called of God. I am brought near by the blood of Christ. I've been set free from the power of sin. I've been buried, and I've been raised up with Jesus. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am more than a conqueror. I am Christ's ambassador. I am the apple of my Father's eye. I've been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I am a disciple of Christ. I am a joint heir with Jesus. I'm a fellow citizen with the saints of the household of God. I'm a partaker of God's divine nature. I've been reconciled to God. I've been called and I've been ordained by my Father. I have access to my Father through the Holy Spirit. I can come to my Father at any moment. I'm being changed every moment into his image. I can do all things through Christ Jesus. I have all my needs met by the riches in Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I've overcome the world. Jesus said, I can even do greater works than him. I can walk with Jesus, and I possess in me one that is greater than he that is in the world. That's two good reasons why not to, what? Flirt or embrace with the sins of the flesh. The third one was, there's a hidden danger, right? So Paul, the Apostle Peter gave us three good reasons why not to embrace or flirt with the sins of the flesh. Shall we pray? Marlene, you can come. And Brother Wayne, you want to come? And I'm going to challenge you while they come. Are you struggling with something? Maybe you're not. That's okay. Maybe you know somebody that is. And you can take what we were taught tonight to help them, to make them realize that the battle is not yours. The battle is Christ. How many can say tonight with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Just close your head. I mean, eyes, close your eyes, bow your heads. Be honest with yourself. Are you struggling? How many say, I'm struggling, Tom. There's a problem I'm having. And, you know, what you said tonight spoke to my heart, and it'll help me. Okay, I see your hand. I'm not asking anybody to come forward. This is something you can do right in your seat. Just recognize it. Recognize that you can't win the battle. Recognize that Jesus already won it. He's already crucified our sinful nature. He set us free. Picture yourself as being dead. And then the real key is you have to submit yourself to the Holy Spirit's rule in your life. You can't control things yourself. You can't fight your own sinful nature. It's impossible. You're going to fail all the time. Ask the Holy Spirit to do it for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the lesson that you gave us here tonight. You are a powerful God. You are my rock. You are my fortress. You are my high tower. You are my refuge, Lord Jesus. I hide myself in thee. Lord, we know that we can't overcome our sinful nature. You didn't do anything with it. You defeated the enemy of our soul. You defeated this world system. And you took care of our sinful nature also. So, Lord, we just have to rest in what you did and realize the battle is yours and not ours and praise you for it. Now, bless us, Father. We thank you for your love in Jesus' precious name.